Welcome to the Start Something Show. Join world-renowned experts, change agents, and everyday folks who have done the amazing. All here to help you start something incredible. Now it's time to step out, live your perfect day, and create a legacy with your host, Tina Dietz.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backstage Pass of the Start Something Show. I am Tina Dietz, of course, here to bring you awesome human beings from around the world who are all trusted advisors and helping you build your business oasis, bring your dreams into reality, give you some great information, teaching, and tools. And I'm happy to bring back today Mr. Greg Peters, who is known as the reluctant networker, although I don't find him so reluctant at all. He is a, or was, a computer programmer by training, and yet through growing his business, transformed himself into a true networking professional. And he's now built two successful businesses and has taught thousands of people the value of developing powerful personal connections. You can catch Greg's original episode you'll see the link here on the Backstage Pass page. So if you haven't listened to that, I highly recommend that you do. We talk a lot about his journey and a couple of notable bits. We talk a lot about the transition between part-time to full-time running your business, and also the transition between starting one business, ending that, and starting another in a different field. So important points. But today we're going to be talking about digging more into this area of networking, of referral building, and also how to do some decent follow-through. So Greg, I'm really glad you had the time to join me here on the Backstage Pass. Thanks for coming back.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Pleasure, Tina.
Yeah, really great. So for those of you, too, who are listening and not on the website page right now, you'll want to connect with Greg as well at thereluctantnetworker.com. That's correct, right, Greg?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we covered the, kind of some of the basics of networking in your Start Something Show episode, and I wanted to continue that conversation here. And a couple of the mistakes we covered that people make in networking from the show were that they don't get out there. That was one big one. And follow through, definitely an issue for folks. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about you like to systematize and have specific systems for everything in your business. And that's something that's followed you from being a programmer. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
So what if somebody is building a system for following up and following through when they're looking to deepen a relationship, what are some of the elements of building that system that you'd recommend?
Well, first of all, it has to be as easy as possible, because if it's not easy, you won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the challenges people run into is they, you know, they'll go to a networking event and they'll meet, what, 5 or 10 people, and they'll come home with this pile of cards in their hands and they'll put it on their desk and they'll say, you know what, I'm going to call up those people right after lunch. And then they get busy after lunch, and then they all call them tomorrow. And then tomorrow, guess what? They're busy again. And before long, they go to another networking event. And you can see the progression of what happens here. And I know it doesn't happen to you, but people will end up with hundreds of business cards on their desks.
Oh, there was a time when I did have that. I had baggies. I was like a business card, you know, like junkie. I had like, you know, all these little baggies from different events, all labeled from different events. It was not pretty.
It was nice that you had them labeled. That's good.
I know. That was organized, right?
So you at least knew who you were ignoring, right?
Exactly. That's so true.
So one of the things I decided was, okay, this obviously isn't working very well for me. So what can I do to reduce the number of cards? And what I kind of hit on was what I refer to as the immediate follow-up. And I don't mean immediate as in as soon as I get back to my office. I mean, I follow up while I'm still in front of them. If I'm enjoying the conversation and it feels like the beginning of a really good professional relationship, I'll just say, hey, you know what? I'm having a great time chatting with you. I know you already have, you have more networking you want to do here, but how about this? Could we set up a coffee?
And perfect. Most immediacy is wonderful.
Immediacy is a great thing, because, you know, now all of a sudden we've got our next meeting already set up. And
Exactly.
let's face it, most of us already carry our calendars around in our pockets these days. It's easy to do. It takes about 3 minutes to actually set up a meeting. That meeting is likely to be closer in time than it would be if we tried to do sort of the back and forth thing with email or phone calls. It's
Oh, absolutely, any day of the week.
you're less likely to have someone drop the ball and waste all that time and effort. And because it's closer in time, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I meet someone, and if it's been a month since I met them for the first time, I can usually remember that they had blonde hair and were a woman. So,
You would hope so.
when I'm walking into the local coffee shop, I'm looking around and I'm like, excuse me, ma'am, are you Tina? But,
Yeah.
being closer in time and space, I'm more likely to be able to remember who, even what they look like.
Exactly. I think that's really important. Now, you had mentioned going for coffee, which is kind of a default setting that we tend to have if we're, especially in a live networking event. I personally don't have any compunctions against meeting over the phone or meeting over Skype as a follow-up, simply because of the time involved with meeting so many people. And that's a lot of caffeine. And
Well, I don't drink coffee
so
myself,
do you
so.
have any do you find have you found that there is any material difference in setting up a phone or a Skype conversation versus meeting in person?
It's better than nothing, that's for sure. It's better than just pure electronic, which is, email or whatever. Face to face is always going to be best. Our brains are wired in such a way. We have a lot of processing power in our heads for the visual, people's facial expressions, their body language. But better to have at least voice to voice. If nothing else, it's a human connection. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to connect human to human. And the other benefit is that if you're just going electronic, pure electronic emails back and forth, it's a fairly low bandwidth.
Yeah, I find that email only or messenger or text is really doesn't make the same kind of connection.
Right.
Yeah, fortunately, we have a lot of good options.
Oh, certainly. I mean, now these days
Technologically.
we have, Skype. You and I mean, we've never actually met in person, but I
No.
feel like we have because we got to look at each other and talk with each other, and it was just like sitting down for, well, let's call it a virtual coffee.
Exactly. That's what I would call it as well, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Because you do get to a certain point where, in your business, our t time is not renewable necessarily.
Oh, certainly not.
And especially if now you had said that you would call yourself an introvert, right?
Oh, you definitely.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm an extrovert, and I would spend all my days out meeting people. I would just like set up an office in the coffee shop and just have people come meet me there. They'd have to kick me out. And that could be very effective, but somehow I think I would not actually be productive enough to run a business that way. So I think there's, a bit of a balance there between one or the other. But I totally agree. Just an email follow-up or texting or anything, it does, I don't think it shows enough interest
Right.
in each other
Right.
to really make it sound like you actually give a crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's go with
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, when people are trying to choose who to network with, this is another question that comes up a lot. You meet a lot of people. Some of them you may feel really a lot of resonance with. It's a no-brainer. But some folks you may not. How do you handle a situation where you're not sure if you should give somebody more of your time?
In general, I go with my gut. If it feels good to talk with them more, then I will. Because if you think about it, the challenges we're going to run into if we are trying to connect with someone with whom we don't have chemistry, it's putting a huge damper on the relationship right from the start. And it's not that they're a bad person or we're a bad person. Two perfectly wonderful people can just not connect. And so I have a tendency to go toward the people that I enjoy being around Because for the most part, almost anyone we meet can have some benefit to our network, can be a powerful resource for us. It would be far better to be connected to the people we enjoy being around. Now, that said, if someone tries to be in contact with me, I've got to give them at least props for the effort. And so I'll probably at least meet with them for coffee. And who knows, maybe, you know, they just take a little warming before we start feeling that connection. I very rarely run into people that I have a gut instinct of, no, stay away from them.
Yeah, exactly. What about those folks who really aren't necessarily, they might be, you know, good at what they do. Certainly, you know, a perfectly nice person, but they're clearly trying to get you out so they can pitch you. How do you handle those folks?
Well, you know, the funny thing is sometimes I'll go out with them intentionally just because it's fun.
Well, that's true. If you think they're going to be good at it, that's a whole other thing.
but honestly, I do it intentionally because there are techniques in how to deal with that. You'll run into people who want to give you the hard sell even at a networking event.
Oh, I've run into that.
And there's a simple technique to getting around it.
Yeah.
You know, when they get going on their pitch, you stop them. It's always about breaking their pattern, by the way. You just stop mm-hmm. them and say, you know what? This sounds really fascinating. Who are you trying to reach? And
that's brilliant.
Quite often it stops them in their tracks because that's not that leaves their script.
It's not the response they're expecting.
No, I suddenly instead of a target, I'm now a resource. And a funny thing happens is they stop being a sales guy or girl and they start being a human being. And I've actually made some really wonderful connections with people who started out trying to pitch me. But because I shortchanged it, we turned it into a human conversation on how can I help you be more successful?
Greg, I got to tell you, and I'm not surprised, but that really is one of the most brilliant pieces of networking advice I've ever heard.
Well, I'm glad it worked for you.
Yeah. That is really like if you're listening to this and you heard that and you will take a lot more away from this conversation about that. But if you just took that and used it in networking events, oh Lord, that's beautiful. That is a thing of beauty. Especially if you have an expert type of platform or an expert type of brand, or trusted advisor type of brand, like Greg and I do, you know, that kind of interruption in somebody's pattern and shifting. Like, oh man, now you just made a friend for life, yep. Pretty much right there. All right, cool. Well, let's continue on then. Well, you know, ultimately, you know, the reason we're networking is to build business, mm-hmm. right? And although I would say a lot of people are reluctant to admit that because they feel like that, especially in women's networking groups, which I have to admit, personally, I'm not a giant fan of usually. I really prefer mixed gender groups. Mm-hmm. That's my personality, my preference. I find that in women's networking groups in general, the bunch that I've attended, there tends to be a little less of an emphasis on business. I'm just going to say it in general, or I would say in making money in business.
Okay.
And a lot more. Now, do you find, and I know this is a delicate subject, but, you know, we're in safe company here. So I'd actually really like to hear what you have to say about this.
Well, I mean, yeah. One of the downsides of perceiving networking as a process of relationship development is that there is a societal stigma against bringing up business amongst friends.
Yes, exactly.
And so, yeah, we can feel a little uncomfortable with that. I mean, there are a number of kind of patterns that are going on inside our heads. I mean, in some ways, it feels like we're begging. And no one got into business to beg.
Oh, no, please.
Or it feels like, you know, we're doing the Godfather thing. You know, I've done something for you. Now I expect you to do something for me. Excuse me, horrible Marlon Brando.
On this, the day of the networking event.
And you can't see me scratching my face. So, yeah. It, you know, it doesn't, but, you know, so it puts us in an awkward, it really feels awkward to us to ask for help. And so what I've done, you know, I said, well, I don't like either of those paths. So what's a different path? And being a nerd, of course, I decided to go with the Jedi mind trick path.
Ooh.
Now, I'm sure you remember in the original Star Wars, which is now called Episode 4.
Yes.
They're in Mos Eisley, okay. And they're being confronted with the stormtroopers.
Yes.
And, you know, Ben Kenobi says, these are not the droids you're looking for. And the trooper immediately says,
these are not the droids you're looking for.
Right.
We're looking for.
So we need to use that when we're networking. And it's funny because there's a concept of called unconscious mirroring. People tend to respond to us in the way we initiate contact with them. At its simplest, you know, the hi, how are you? Fine, how are you? You know, it's that back and forth. We tend to mirror what we hear. So if we would like them to ask how they can help us, then what do you think we should do?
Ask how we can help them.
Ask how we can help them. But we have to be careful, because a lot of people will do this as a technique.
Yes, that's true.
It has to be done with sincerity, because, you know, if we're not sincere, we can tell it, can't we?
Oh, of course. Even if it's not conscious, it's subconscious. You just get that feeling.
You get that creepy feeling down your spine. You're going, oh, this person is an icky, icky person. And obviously it's not going to work. Or at best, you're going to get the old, I'll keep you in mind.
That's always kind of like, you know, we're very disappointed in you. You know, we're not angry. We're just disappointed. It has a very similar emotional feel to it.
And honestly, how long are they actually going to keep you in mind? Probably for about 30 seconds after you're out of their sight. They're, you know, it's not going to get the result you want. You have to be sincere about wanting to help them. You have to be sincere about strengthening the relationship. And that's what it all comes back to. Now, the next trick we have to remember, though, is when that person says, how can I help you? Well, we have to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because so many people just say, I don't know. Or, just send anybody who wants to buy my goods or services to me. That's not helpful to our referral partners. We need to be specific. Who are you looking for? What do they look like? How tall are they? How, you know, what color hair do they have? You know, where do they live? What might have happened recently that would make them need your services? Because whoever we're talking to, they have enough trouble on their own to figure out who they're looking for. They don't have time to figure out who we're looking for. We need to be specific. And it may not even be a client. It might be an introduction, and like a stepping stone, if you will. You know, maybe I know that a lot of people, they get they can get their business through giving presentations. You mentioned in one of our conversations about the real estate agent who would give presentations on child safety.
Yes, basically on baby-proofing your home, and she would give presentations at daycare centers for parents.
Well, for her, you know, her direct client is the parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe her stepping stone is, you know what? I give presentations to daycare centers. Would you happen to know any? Would you mind introducing me to the one that you use?
Exactly. That is such a brilliant idea. And it could be other networking groups. It could be other associations they might belong to.
Certainly. But we have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because we can't, if we over-ask the level of the relationship, it can damage the relationship.
Yeah, usually one ask is, do you start with?
Well, yeah, and you have to be careful because, you know, if I've met you and I've talked with you for 5 minutes, maybe 10, if I'm asking to be introduced to your parents because they might need a good or service of mine.
That's a bit much.
Yeah, that's going to be your, it puts up your defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be really aware of how we feel. And in some ways, if you just think of it, what would you feel comfortable of them asking you?
That's a really good litmus test.
You know, if you would feel comfortable with them asking to be introduced to your parents for the purpose of selling to them, well, probably it's not going to work in the other direction either.
Yeah. Well, continuing into this vein of developing referrals, what are some characteristics we want to look for, or what questions maybe do we want to ask ourselves if we're looking for good referral partners?
good referral partners?
Well, like, for example, like if we're thinking, oh, would this person be a good referral source? Like, is there some kind of benchmark questions we want to kind of think about?
The best one right off the bat is, well, of course, as we talked about earlier, that do we have a connection with them? Do we feel good about being associated with them? Because if we don't, it's not going to work, period. But beyond that, one of the best questions you can ask is, do we serve the same people without competing? Is our target markets, do they mesh in some way? Do they overlap? Do they intersect? Because if that's happening, then you can each refer easily to the other. And referrals there's a lot of reciprocity in this.
Very true.
You know, you have to be careful there also, because you don't want to be keeping score. If you're keeping score, you're playing a game that someone has to lose.
Right. That's never good.
Yeah. So you are giving referrals because it's the right thing for all parties involved. And that will build your credibility. When you receive referrals, of course, that's when you want to remember everyone involved and make sure that they are appreciated.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be tit for tat at all.
No. In fact, it quite often can't be.
No, it can't necessarily. One example kind of comes to mind. Maybe you have one as well. One of my clients was a sales manager for a pest control company, exterminator. And we developed a strategy where he was doing presentations and seeking out restaurant owners and restaurant owner associations to do preventative work. Mm-hmm. One of the things that he would do with his owners, besides the, you know, kind of client education side of things, instead of just going to the sales pitch, was we kind of developed a follow-up where he would make a point of making sure that all the restaurants that he had done work with, or his guys had done work with, that he would go back in and eat there. And he would bring other people with him, whether they were colleagues, friends, family, whatever. And then he would make sure that he left a review on Yelp and on TripAdvisor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wasn't something he touted to them or anything like that. But it was just a way that he could then, show appreciation to his clients, especially since he knew they had a really clean kitchen.
Yeah. Well, and then, he could also be aware of what other vendors do the restaurants use.
And that is you picked right up on it. That is exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. It became then a who do you know conversation.
Because, you know, what if they need a new, I don't know, a food distributor or whatever? Well, then if he already has someone in his network that he can refer to them, then he starts almost developing a strategic partnership with that food distributor. And then that food distributor starts, you know, sending business his way as well. It can become just this wonderful little partnership that
you nailed it. Absolutely.
Everything flowing.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Oh, Greg, this is absolutely wonderful. I really appreciate all of the. This is really chock full of information, advice, and tips. And I want to just kind of distill this down for our folks into a couple of actions that you could recommend that if somebody's listening wants to go out this week and start expanding their network. What are a couple of action steps that you would go ahead and recommend that they take?
Well, to start expanding their network, understand that no matter where you are, if you're interacting with other human beings, you are networking. And so just start talking with them, being interested in them. That's the very first step, is being aware that you are consciously forming those relationships. Second of all, especially if you're trying to grow your client list, find out who else your clients need. Talk with your clients and say, well, who else serves you? Then start making an effort to connect with those people, or even see if you might already know people like that in your network.
Great. So can you give a couple of examples of that? So let's look at it this way. If I was one of your clients and you were advising me on who I would want to ask my clients about.
So
I'm a business coach, and I work doing a lot of strategy with my clients on developing their business and developing the strategy for what income streams they're going to then bring in. And most of my folks work in the digital space.
Okay. Well, what else do your clients need?
My clients need websites.
Oh, okay.
And my clients need graphic design.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. We got two right there. Who are website developers and graphic designers in your network?
Exactly. So then I can reach out to the folks that I already know, or simply ask, who do you know?
Or ask your clients who they're currently using.
Although I have to admit, most of my clients, it's the opposite. I'm recommending to them.
Well,
but that's just a business development point.
You may also run into clients, though, or other people. When you're chatting with other people in your network, say, you know what, I'm trying to build my list of graphic designers and web developers. Who do you know?
Exactly.
Use the network to build the network.
Powerful words in the English language. Who do you know?
Who do you know?
Awesome. All right, Greg, so I just want to remind everybody that they can connect with Greg. Your links are right here on the page to Greg's other episode. Of course, connect with him at thereluctantnetworker.com, as well as you want to download this sweet, sweet, sweet year-long program he has. It's totally free, called 52 Connection Tips. Every week he's going to email you a connection tip, and I think it's just a great habit to get into to make sure that you're utilizing a connection tip every single week. You cannot fail to grow your influence and grow your network and grow your business if you are consistently utilizing these tips. And you can find that at 52connectiontips.com. And Greg, you like to use Facebook and LinkedIn too, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we have all those links for you here. Greg, thank you so much. I really, really love talking with you. And you're just a wealth of information. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much, Tina. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you again. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, you have your mission for this week as you're listening to this. Get out there. Make your voice heard. Have great conversations. Be interested in what people have to say. And start asking people, who do you know? Start really developing these juicy, wonderful relationships where we can all help each other raise up and create the lives and businesses that we absolutely adore. I'll see you next time on the Backstage Pass here at thestartsomethingshow.com.